peace, love, blessings, and healing across the vast planet. Welcome to Healing for Humanity, the Jennifer Jalencia Show on Nia2X Radio, the voice of the people. I would like to first start by paying homage to a dear sister, queen, and comrade of over 25 years. This queen has served as the former manager of my vocal career. She has served as an extraordinary educator of my dear Prince Tabari, and she has served just as a friend and sister as we have worked in the community for the betterment of those around us. I am speaking of none other than the great producer of this show, my dear sister, queen, and comrade, Nia2X. I thank you with all that I am, with my whole heart, for encouraging me throughout the years and then encouraging me further to lift my voice on your radio station. And now, family, many may ask, Sister Jennifer, Healing for Humanity. That is quite a title and quite an undertaking for one woman to think that she could approach the topic of healing all of humanity. And I humbly submit to all who may listen, from the time I was a child, despite wars and rumors of wars and mayhem and violence may be right outside of my window, in my mind's eye, I saw hearts and rainbows and felt a sense of love in my spirit. And I would share these ideas, these grandiose ideas with the elders in my community, as I have always been attracted to the elders, wanting to sit at their feet to gain wisdom. I would share these things with them, and I would share these things with the magnificent elder, and that would be none other than my dearly departed Queen Mother. I would say these grandiose things, and she would reply in her deep, authoritative voice, as she was known to be a powerful authoritarian, authoritative spirit in our household and in the community. She would say, "Jenny, I hear you, but you can't save the world, child." And I would whisper under my breath in a low tone, saying, "Yes, I can save the world." And family, I would whisper, because in those days you didn't sass your mama, you didn't talk back to adults. So I didn't want to get smacked, you know, so I would say it low, but that was my spirit. And my mother, my dearly departed queen, has gone on to glory. And I never knew that many years later I would be called, in fact, to do my part to begin to help with the healing of all humanity. Now, family, enough about me. I want to turn the page and give you a little bit about the extraordinary Sister Queen guest that we have gracing the show this evening. Family, many people have things to say about Facebook and social media, you know, that people may use it for negativity and gossip and such, but that is not my experience. I am grateful for the advent of social media, Facebook in particular, because it is there that I came across a beautiful queen on the outside and on the inside. It is reflective. We became Facebook friends. I have no idea who the mutual friend is, but I believe it was our spirits that brought us together. It was only a matter of time where like mind, heart, and spirit would meet one another. This beautiful queen would comment on my post. She would support me. And it was when I launched my T-shirt, my first T-shirt company, that we found a way to finally meet in person. And I know the queen is remembering, as I am, going back down memory lane,
that was our excuse to finally meet. And so I drove her order over to her, and I beheld this beautiful fit queen. She has muscles where she has worked on her body to the glory of God. She's in a beautiful, high, jovial, smiling, angelic spirit. When I beheld her, it was truly my honor. And I knew that from that day on, we would do much work in the vineyard of God. And then the sister reached out to me. She began to do her business where she's a meal prep queen. And she said, well, queen, you want chicken or what have you? And I said, well, queen, I'm a vegetarian. And I believe she dropped the phone. She said, oh, you're a vegetarian. I could make you what you want, queen. And she set up my meal. I remember it was in a partition. It had my broccoli over here and my string beans, and it was about the most beautiful vegetarian meal that I had ever tasted. I am speaking just a bit of the history and the beautiful things that this particular queen is doing in the vineyard of God during our time. I am speaking of none other than our gracious guest, dear Sister Queen Stacy Penn. Welcome, my dear Sister Queen.
Thank you so very much, Queen Jennifer. Listen, when you were giving that introduction, I was thinking, wow, I would love to meet her.
Bless you, Queen. You are so welcome. And I have to give a little snippet to the audience. Before we got on air, I told Sister Queen Stacy, I know we're going to be giggling on here, and we ain't started, and we're giggling already. That is a testament to her beautiful, welcoming, and loving, and nurturing spirit. It's an honor to have you, beloved Sister Queen Stacy.
Thank you so much. I'm so honored to be graced here. I really appreciate the invitation. I just appreciate your heart and your love for people. And so I'm honored.
Queen, right back at you, truly. I resonate with those words, and I send them right back to you. I want to begin by going down the roles of your life. We want to first discuss your being a certified holistic health practitioner. What a magnificent role to take, as we are trying to better ourselves in terms of health. And I would just want to ask you, how did you get involved in the holistic health area, the holistic health field? Tell us about that, dear Queen.
Yes, ma'am. Quite honestly, it all began over 20 years ago. I married my husband. I was 20 years old when I married my husband. And we were married for about 10 years, and he had become ill. And so we had gone back and forth to the doctors, this doctor, that doctor. They would give him this medicine, give him that medicine. And then when you combine, these different types of medicine, you would have these side effects, this side effect. And it was not a great experience, to say the least. They finally figured out, after all of that, what was going on with him. He had colon cancer. And so they were treating him for, different things and interacting these different medications when they finally were like, there's nothing else that we could do. And so I began studying and reading on holistic approaches to different diseases and how they manifest and things of that sort. So I started to feel like a little scientist trying to, do different herbs and different teas and see which ones were more beneficial for what my husband was going through. And that's where my journey really began with holistic health and holistic approaches. And I was like, all of these medicines that we're taking, generated from nature, really. But then, doctors and scientists, and I know that God gives, you know, doctors and medical professionals the wherewithal to be able to, you know, do what they do with medicine. But they put so many things into things that are naturally supposed to be good for us that it affects our system. You know, you know, damages different things. And so I began to read and I began to study. And as I was doing that, I was, you know, just trying to different things with my husband, but he was so far to the point in his health that it really was difficult challenge to revert that, you know, everything that he had already taken in, and he had lost so much weight, and, you know, it was just so it burdened the heart of me, and I wanted to be able to help others. It's like I couldn't really help him, you know. And it was all, you know, it was all in the timing, and it was definitely a learning experience, to say the least. And so even now, even after his passing, I still do a lot of the things that I do in his name, because he wants me to study and to see what else can be done naturally as we incorporate God, because we know at the end of the day, it begins and ends with God. You know, we have to believe in God's healing and wholeness, but and also incorporating what he's given us naturally and the teaching and everything that we acquire and apply it to our lives.
Yes, yes.
So that's where
First, I would like to pray blessings and healing over you for the loss of your beloved husband. I keep you lifted in prayer, and may God's perfect peace heal your mind and your spirit, Queen. I am with you. I am with you, Queen. And you are so eloquent of speech. And, you know, it wasn't until I began to speak on Healing for Humanity that I started to speak on my own journey through depression for many, many years, starting in my teenage years. And I have to echo some of your study and some of what you went through trying to find remedies for your beloved husband. I have been on all manner of medications and things from teenage years up into my late 20s. And bouting, going back and forth with depression. And it wasn't until I took to nature. I took to the waters and the streams and the trees and flowers. I took and took my sustenance from Mother Nature herself, that I am now able to handle those bouts, because they're not over, dear sister. I'm just able to speak on them, but it is Mother Nature that hugs me, calms me, and brings me back to life to this day. So I honor you in your perseverance to go back to our sacred Mother Nature. She is a healing balm. And, you know, I had lost my mother, as I talked about, from diabetes and what have you. And my sister is more on the naturopathic way. And she began towards the end of my mother's life to study in that way. And she was too far gone, I would say, as well. But your study and her study does not go for naught, because we can help the next generation. We can help the next of those with our diligence and with our study. So I honor you, encourage you, and hope that you continue on your naturopathic way, because we need that. The world needs more of that. Thank you so much for that, Queen.
Thank you, Queen. I appreciate those words of encouragement. I do.
Oh,
thank you.
Certainly. You are most welcome. And as we continue on, I was looking over your beautiful bio, and you are also a life coach. And I want you to share with the listening audience globally what exactly a life coach is, and give us some examples of your work as a life coach, Queen.
I can honestly say, as a life coach, you're just pretty much coaching people through life. And I know that sounds really simple, but It's a way of encouraging others to look inside themselves, because everything that they need is inside of them. You know, it's just a matter of somebody going in and getting that chisel and just chiseling at, you know, that barrier, to break down those barriers. Because most of the time, all people need that are seeking life coaches, what they're really seeking is for someone to hear them and to listen to what it is that they're saying. You know, so many times we talk and we talk and we talk, but we never talk to listen. And so when you can effectively listen and people can, you can empathize as well as sympathize with what they're going through, trust and believe, they will see the shift and the change that comes within them. Because all I do is, like I just said just now, is chisel at where they are. So I do a questionnaire, and I have them to fill out that questionnaire. And then I begin to chisel at those questions. I begin to chisel at their life experiences, those past things that, because it's a lot of times it's those past demons, those past demons that always, they're always trying to sneak around and clip you up. You know what I'm saying? And make you fall, and, you know, make you feel like you're less than and you're this or you're that. But when you can speak, when you can speak to the inner part of that hurt, that little girl or that little boy, because a lot of times that's where it began. So you have to speak to that. You have to speak to that and allow them to express what they need to express. And the other thing, they have to be able to trust you and to trust the process. You have to trust the process. If you don't trust the process and you don't trust the individual, you're not going to get very far. And so I try to build that trust factor. It's like building blocks. You know, you put one block down, you allow them to be able to be who they are. You put another block on top of that block, and then you're realizing, okay, she seems like she's really hearing me. She's not just listening to what I'm saying, but she's hearing what I'm saying. And then I repeat it back to them. So you're saying, this is what I'm hearing from you. This is what I'm hearing that you're saying. So now you explain and you express to me what you heard me say back to you in this particular situation. And so you're just coaching them through life, allowing them to be authentically who they are with no judgment. And that's a lot of times what we're faced with, you know, when we're trying to speak our truth, whatever that is being judged.
Amen, Queen, and you're speaking so powerfully, and you're quite an authentic life coach. We want to pause for the cause, if you will. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we want to come right back and hear more about your journey as a life coach. Family, you're listening to Nia 2X Radio, the voice of the people. We'll be right back.
Good evening. Today's program is sponsored by the following. On August 19, 2017, one of the greatest civil rights leaders of our time transitioned, and that is Brother Dick Gregory. From that day to this present day, his life's work, contribution to humanity, his sacrifices in the struggle has stayed up front and alive. This is all due because of his friend and comrade in the struggle, Sister Dr. E. Faye Williams, who has dedicated her weekly radio show on the Pacifica Network to Baba Dick Gregory. Now, she has taken her efforts to another level with her latest book titled Wake Up and Stay Woke. The book is about the life and legacy of Dick Gregory. Many of us have read and heard many wonderful things about him, but Dr. Efe Williams and Dick Gregory soldiered shoulder to shoulder here in America and even abroad. Her book promises to reveal unknown facts about who we call the father of humanity, Baba Dick Gregory. Call and get her cross-country book signing schedule at 202-554-0159. Dick Gregory lives. get the new released book titled Wake Up and Stay Woke. Call today, 202-554-0159. Also, co-sponsoring this hour of Healing for Humanity is the following. Here in Washington, D.C., the largest homeless shelter is the Mitch Snyder Shelter. Every Saturday beginning May 2020, there is a group of advocates who have come every week without failure to provide and support residents of the shelter with wholesome food, clean clothes, and toiletries. Leading the charge is Queen Jennifer Jalencia. She is head of the new royal family, promoting the theme, Together We Can End Homelessness. If you're in the DMV on Saturdays, feel free to lend a hand. Come by 425 2nd Street, Northwest D.C. See the website for the time schedule. The new royal family serving homeless kings and queens with donated items and lots of genuine love. Visit the new royal family at thenewroyalfamily.org to contribute. Please donate financially. Their cash app is $Jalencia. Now, that's spelled G-E-L-E-N-C-I-A. That's $Jalencia. And you can phone them at 202-718-6515. And now, we're back to Healing for Humanity with your radio host, Queen Jennifer Jalencia.
All right, family, it's Jennifer Jalencia with Healing for Humanity, anxious to get right back to our eloquent guest, Sister Queen Stacy Penn. She was speaking on her experiences as a life coach and her approach to coaching one through life. Queen, please continue with your point.
I was talking about communication, basically,
yes,
and allowing individuals to express themselves through the process. So as I'm going through the process of life coaching, what's interesting is that even after when I begin with my clients with life,
yes,
coaching, they'll tell me, you know, Stacy, I just want to come just to sit and talk to you, you know, just sit in your prayer room. You know, they just come over and just sit in the prayer room. And so that,
yes,
that, you know, to me, the comfortability that they have with my approach with them and for them to, yes, be able to express themselves. Because I do, depending on who the individuals are, I'm always in a place to incorporate Christ. And I'm also in,
yes,
a place to incorporate, because you never know where people are in as far as their religion and et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to, mm-hmm, present it in an inspirational type of way, understanding that there's someone greater than who we are who's able, mm-hmm, to meet you where you are to come out,
mm-hmm,
of what you're experiencing. And so I try to be that tool that God uses to help, because with the society that we're living in and the generation that we're coming up in at this point,
mm-hmm,
with our children and our children's children, they didn't quite, you know, get it like we got it. And so,
uh-huh,
there's so, mm-hmm, many different there's so many different layers to what individuals,
yes,
are facing. And,
mm-hmm,
I was really keen on talking about that part, that piece of being judgmental, because,
uh-huh,
people tend to become introverts and go inside of themselves because they don't want to be judged. And
we don't want
people to judge us, just as,
mm-hmm,
the Bible says, if we don't want people to judge us, then we shouldn't judge other people, because at the end of the day, you don't know what,
mm-hmm,
they experienced, what they went through, what challenges,
mm-hmm,
they have that brought them to where they are right now.
That's,
and
right,
if we can love them through,
mm-hmm,
just as Christ loved us, if we can love them through,
yes,
their process,
yes,
they'll definitely appreciate the life coach that is in, you know, the different individuals, because you can't coach an individual by telling them how you did it.
Uh-huh.
You can give your experiences, yes. Mm-hmm, However, you have to meet them where they are. They may not be outspoken person, or they may not be, you know, that person. Like, I for example, I had a client who, she was taught to not speak, pretty much, you know, swallow her emotions. And she was in, you know, domestic violence, marriage, and things of that sort. Mm. And so you have to reach those individuals very delicately, because they're already feeling battered. And for you to judge where they are just makes them feel even more battered. So are they going to communicate with you? Absolutely not. And so you open yourself in that way and try to, you know, just be yourself. And people can feel the aura, you know, just like we talked about earlier. People feel the aura, because sometimes I'll ask individuals, or I'll even ask my pastor, I'm like, do I have a sign on my forehead that says, talk to me? You know, like, my people can come up and they just start feeling their guts. And I'm like, sis.
I love it.
You know, they just start talking. I'm like, let me get this erase or something. So we erase this off my forehead, because they don't even understand.
Oh, but beautiful.
Thank God.
That's so beautiful, Queen. And I think, you know, upon meeting you virtually first, you know, because energy doesn't know where we are. Energy just meets and embraces energy. And I would say you're an empathic being, and that means that you are able to feel what others feel. You are able to put down your ego to come and put a balm in others. That balm that in Gilead, you have the healing balm. It's on your face, Queen. So yeah, it's on your forehead, because that's your face. I got that from you, but I was so anxious to meet you. Yeah, it's on your face. I'm gonna answer for you. It is there, and there are some that are just gifted. Like that.
When I first met you, I was like, hey, girl, hey. Like, I had known you guys since forever. I'm like, thank you. And I don't know, I don't even remember. I think this was pre-COVID. So we could hug then. You know, I don't even remember. You know, like that whole 2020.
Yes.
Anyway. But I think I remember giving you a hug. I think we
And we did. We couldn't help it. We couldn't help it.
Yeah. You know, it's just that, like you said, that energy. And it's I was so happy to meet you. I was just like, hey, girl, hey.
Like, we've been knowing each other forever, and like minds and spirit are going to be like that. I truly consider you a sister queen on the same vibration. And thank you. And I know together we can truly make a difference. In the society and in the world, it will spill over into the world if we continue to work together. You know, Queen, anyone on this planet that knows of Sister Jennifer knows I am in love with the Queen. My mission is to cultivate the woman and to bring the woman together. And I know you have a similar mission. I want you to tell the world, give them your input on the importance of women supporting women.
Wow, that's a big one for me. I have a ministry called But Grace Ministries. And But Grace, if but for grace that we are here, that we are alive, God gave me that name, But Grace. And the women, you know, I always wanted to be that individual that people could come to and say whatever, you know, whatever thought was on their mind, whatever they were going through, and it be sealed like a vault. The worst thing you can do, whether you're doing a life coach or just, you know, a sister queen relationship, the worst thing that you can do is, you know, tell this person what this, you know, especially if it's something of substance, you know, their deepest, you know, woes or their deepest, darkest secrets. Because at that rate, they would have just announced it on Facebook if they wanted everybody to know.
That's right.
So they need somebody that's going to be a vault, that's going to keep and treasure their secrets, and not only treasure and keep them, but put them before God and pray for them. All while encouraging them, you know, and speaking life into their spirit, speaking life into their heart, into their mind, because a lot of things that we are dealing with, and as nature has it, it deals and forms in the mind, and then trickles into the heart. And then when it gets down in the heart, it starts affecting you physiologically. You know, so what you brought me to wanting to go into personal training, fitness, aerobic certification, spinning, strength and conditioning, all these things, because they all embellish who we are. And if we take care of our inner man, it's going to show up on the outside, because you're going to want to continue to do things to get your outside body continuing to connect with your heart and your spirit and your mind. Because everything works together. Your mind can't work without the heart. The heart can't work without the spirit, the soul. The arm can't do anything unless your brain tell it to do it. So we have to be, you know, we have to be able to know that we need to be healthy and whole. Not just healthy, but whole all the way around. A 360 wellness check is what we need. Wellness check. We need to understand that it's not just wellness in the body, but it's the mind, heart, spirit, soul, the whole person. We need wellness check. We need wellness
check. Amen, Queen. Preach. Look, we get ready to get into your you're being an ordained elder, because you're bringing that fire now, Queen. Queen. even before I knew of your religious background and being ordained, it reverberates from you. And I learned from your bio that you have been with your church for 19 years, which is just a demonstration of your commitment. And I that is another thing that I believe that we as women and queens, we have to have a commitment to loving one another, through the good, bad, and the ups and downs, because that Christ never left us nor forsaked us. So we must emulate him and not leave one another when it gets rocky and when it gets hard. We must have that agape love where we look past one another's faults and see our need. And so, Queen, talk about your journey to becoming an ordained elder, and talk about some of your 19 years of experience at this church.
Well, let me see. My spiritual journey began when I was 15. And so my mom at that time, she believed in God, but she didn't physically go to church because she's working and this and that and the third. And so I was just like, I want to go to church. And so there was a neighborhood van that would come around and pick up the children. That's when you can send your kids with somebody. Right. They can come back home. You know what I'm saying? So you can't do that now. So anybody listening, don't send your kids. Take your kids to church. Okay?
That's right, Queen.
I remember that experience going, you know, to church on the van, and I loved it. I enjoyed it. I was like, I want to feel what they are feeling. I want to be able to connect with who is this God? You know, I knew that there was a God, you know. You learn that when you're young, but to have an experience and a relationship with him, that's something totally different. And so that began when I was 15, you know, in church, saved, loving God, et cetera. Fast forward, when I came to my church's Miracle International Praise Ministries, and my pastor's Apostle Patrina Stedman in Sea Pleasant, Maryland, over there off of Central Avenue and Addison Plaza. That's where we are. And so I remember there just was a connection. We worked together. We didn't know one another, my pastor and I. We worked together, and there was just a spiritual ignition, you know, a connection. And so when she began her ministry, I was like, yeah, I'm there. Like, I'm totally supporting you. You know, God is, this is God. We're good. And so mm-hmm. I was, it's interesting because I became her armor bearer, her adjutant. Mm-hmm. And so it was interesting is that I had a heart to do things and support her even before she was a pastor. And yeah. so I just became her armor bearer, and I, you know, that protector and wanting to support and support ministry, your vision, whatever your vision is, I want your vision to come to pass. I want to support your vision and et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so I started out, you know, I was an armor bearer, and then I was an ordained deacon. And I was an mm-hmm. ordained deacon for the last 18 or 19 so years, 18 mm-hmm. years. And I was mm-hmm. recently ordained in April on Easter as an elder.
Beautiful.
And so I'm just a babe, and I'm okay. Oh. You know, I just love the Lord. I love my ministry. I love my vision. I love our leaders. And, you know, the men and women of God, they are so unique and encouraging. Mm-hmm. And as you said, even with, you know, when I talk to my bishop about, because she's my spiritual advisor, you know, for, mm-hmm. you know, my businesses and things like that, and my sister, and then my sister, you know, I call her Ruth. She calls me Naomi, you know.
Yeah.
And so
it's
like, where I'm going, she's going to go. Where I'm going, she's going to go.
Oh,
you know,
beautiful.
If I'm going to the palace, she's going to the palace. You know, that's how I met my sister Lisa, you know, who's also, she's an assistant pastor. And so I was just, you know, I would always be thinking, you know, how my bishop, she would, you know, in my village, if you will always mm-hmm. support. They really do. When I had my women's conferences, and I was on my retreats away at Deep Creek mm-hmm. before, you know, the whole COVID. You know,
yes.
the mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so they just was always supportive. The women, the queen, always supportive, and I thank God for that. And so it makes a difference when you're loving not only God, but loving your ministry and loving what you do.
Yes,
and
true.
That's so
Amen.
Important. I love what I do. And I wanted to just piggyback on something prior, you know, these are my, you know, certification as it relates to, you know, natural, holistic. But I wanted to just express how the fact that I've always wanted to help people.
Yeah.
I was a 911 dispatcher for mm-hmm. 18 years before I mm-hmm. retired. And so I love, that was for Prince George's County Police Department. And I loved my job. And so it still carried over, you know, to wanting to help and to want to make a difference. Because at the end of the day, sometimes you're that last, for some people, you might be that last person, just like on a 911, you know, situation, you're that last mm-hmm. person that individual, that officer has talked to. And so when that, if you're in a position like that, you want to be able to be impactful. And that's my mm-hmm. desire, to be impactful to, you know, the kings, but definitely for our sister queens.
Amen. And, you know, as you're talking about your prior job, that sounds like something that would be perfect for you, because whoever called you, they were talking to an angel. I can tell you that.
Oh,
queen, that's so wonderful. Just the perfect job for you.
Yes,
oh, thank you for your service. Thank you for your service and your job and the ministry and your helping businesses and your profession. I humbly thank you for all you are doing for our society. You are making us better.
Amen.
You are most welcome, queen. And, you know, I share with many guests, because I would say that it's 99% sister queens that are my guests, but we have a brother king, you know, 1% of mm-hmm. the time. It's just that those women are drawn to this particular show. And I would always ask questions about the female, but I know as the mothers of all that we have something to say to our men. And we have the right to counsel and have an input on our men's lives. So what would you say, queen, as an advisement, as an encouragement to the brother kings that are listening globally, what say you to them?
I would say to our brother kings that mm-hmm. you are exactly who God designed you to be. You are
Amen.
The head, not to tell. You are always the and never be need. Okay? You are the lender and never the borrower. And
right.
I just want you to know that not all queens are hard to get along with. I just need my king to understand. I just need my king to understand that, because we're not all hard to tolerate or anything like that. I just want you all to know that you are beautiful, humble kings that God has created and that He loves.
Yes.
We love you all. We support you. And Black Lives, your life matters all the time. And I just
want
to encourage one another as Black men.
Yeah.
Black men encourage Black men and not be afraid to stand up and have a standard. Have a standard and be there for your Black male, your sons. Your sons need solid examples of who the men, the men of God are supposed to look like. This is how
men
of God is supposed to look like. He is the he is the head of the household. That don't mean controlling things, but you're the head of the household with your helpmeet. You need your ribs. Y'all know we y'all ribs, right? Okay. But you know, you can't be pushing your ribs. Okay. I just want to encourage
said my twin and I. Tell it, queen.
That's
right, queen.
We love you. We do.
We truly do. And, you know, there's a saying by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that our unity is more powerful than an atomic bomb.
Yes.
And so that goes across all religions, all colors. That means if we but unify, we could be more powerful than anything that could touch us. So I thank you,
amen,
for that encouraging words to our brother kings, because we are going to go together and transform this planet together. You know, not no longer being apart and going with propaganda, but we are going to go in the way of which God would have us to go, and that is in unity. So I thank you for that beautiful, inspirational word to our brothers. You had touched on this. Amen, queen. You touched on this throughout the interview, but I wanted to go a little bit further into it, not overlooking your certification as a personal trainer. As I talked about your physique, is that you care for it so much. It's admirable. Oh, truly, it shows, queen. You talk about your journey as a personal trainer. How did you get into that field?
Let's see. I always, from when I can remember, I always wanted to be like an exercise person. You know, you see these people on TV, you know, back then at our time, you know, we didn't have IG and
We had Atari. Atari, that was about it.
And so I always wanted to be, you know, and you didn't see you. If you understand what I'm saying when I see you.
I do understand.
You know, in the arena. No, we always had the commercials with the high blood pressure, diabetes, cholesterol, and those types of things. You understand what I'm saying? And so I wanted to exercise. So it was interesting because my aunt, she's my husband's auntie, but she became my auntie. You know, like we were the blood auntie, and her name is Janet. And so she was teaching at Bally's. And I was like, I could do that. You know, you just dancing around. You know what I'm saying? So, just get up there and start gyrating. Okay, I got this. But, you know, it comes to you need a routine. If you ain't just up there just dancing. You got to carry it down. You got to, you know, make a routine. And so I would just go, you know, and I would just go over her house, and we would just be up, you know, just doing exercises and aerobics and stuff like that. And so I went and applied at Bally's. And so I got hired at Bally's, and so I was teaching I was teaching for years. I was teaching group X classes, and so it was aerobics, step aerobics, Pilates, you know, things like that. And I enjoyed it. And you know what was interesting, Queen Jennifer? A lot of the people weren't coming to exercise so much. They just wanted to come see me. You know, they were like, you know, just that energy. They were like, because I'll be up there, I'll be like, four more, three more.
I can only imagine.
All in their face. Come on, get those knees up, get those legs up. Let's go. What are you doing? So they would come just to have fun, you know. And that's what it's about. Because if you're having fun with what you're doing as far as exercise, it doesn't feel so much like a job. Or feel like, you know, you're trying to get weight. And then, you know, a lot of my family, especially the women, the queens in my family were heavy, you know. Mm-hmm. And so my mom was heavy and, you know, she struggled with high blood pressure and diabetes, mm-hmm. and, you know, all of those types of things. And she had a massive stroke and a massive heart attack at the same time. And so that really pushed me to get into personal training, health and wellness, even more than the experience with my husband. And so from that day, from that time to this time, I just love what I do. I love what I do. I love to encourage people. You know, you had this stigma with, you know, people, you heavy set people, and then you got the skinny people. And, you know, skinny people just always thought they was the stuff. You know what I'm saying? Y'all might be skinny, but y'all not that healthy all the time. If you need to eat healthy and make better choices. So let's be queens. We got little queens. We got medium, you know, small, medium, large, extra large. Okay?
Right.
But we still queens. But
that's right. That's right.
Moving when it comes to exercise, because exercise, it pumps that 7-pound muscle. That's in your heart. That's your heart.
Yes,
that muscle pumping is doing a lot of work. If you're not exercising that muscle and it becomes lazy and dormant, it's not pumping the blood that you needed to pump throughout your body for your body, your limbs, and all your muscles and things like that to do what you needed to do. So you have to treat that 7-pound muscle like your life depends on, because it really does depend on it.
Yeah.
And so that's what I try to, you know, encourage my clients, you know, when they come to train. You know, God has blessed me with a gym in my basement. So even during the pandemic, when gyms closed, I just come down my basement and here I am. I'm in my gym, you know.
Amazing.
And so that was a definite blessing to be able to be blessed with that and to bless others, you know, with that. And so I just love to encourage people. And, you know, sometimes it's so funny because I always say, you know, it's not just exercise. You got to eat how you want to look, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't keep eating, you know, fast food and things like that. People want, just like people want six and eight-pack abs. Well, abs are made in the kitchen. You can do 1,000 sit-ups and still not have a 6 or 8-pack. It develops in the kitchen. It's what you eat. So I try to teach and encourage my clients to look at what you're eating, what you're putting inside your body. And, you know, if you have your exercise and you have your eating habits that you've meshed together to make one whole person or one whole objective for you to target.
Wow.
So that's how I got to where I am now. And I love personal training. I love one-on-one training.
Wow. you're so well-versed.
Huh?
Oh, I know they do. You're so well-versed at what you do. Your love overflows. You can feel the love of what you do. You can feel the love, you know, of who you work with. You're a true blessing to us all, that you had the courage to step into your passion, your divine gifts. You're truly a blessing and inspiration to us all, Queen, kings and queens. We thank you. indeed, Queen. And I have to say, I admire you for listing on your bio that you are a mother. That tells me that you are truly proud of that title and that function. We have talked about the queens. We have talked about the kings. Now, tell the listening audience the importance of mother.
Ooh, mercy. The importance of mother. Mothers are, they're like God's favorite people. And, you know, I know God wants to say,
I love it.
I understand. But
I love that.
You know, you have your moms and you have your dads. We thank God for our dads, you know, our kings. But it's something about mom. You know, that mom, I don't care what you're going through. My kids are now, my oldest is 27. That's Ray. Josh, I have twins, boy and girl twins, Joshua and Jessica. And they're 24. They'll be 25 in November. And so, oh, please, listen. Raising twins is like a, that's a whole nother type of job.
I can only imagine.
It's an expensive other type of job experience. It's just, it's a lot. But I have to say that I take joy in raising them. Not just having them, but raising them. It's a difference when you raise your kids and you raise them in the fear and admiration of God first. And even if they play from it, they're going to come back because they're going to remember all that oil you put on them, praying over them. You know, I take oil and I touch the doorknob. Don't tell nobody, okay? I know they're going to be listening.
Right.
No, it's what happens.
Only the whole world is listening. I won't tell anyone.
Listen, you still gonna get, or you know, you go in that room at nighttime, you know, when they not when they haven't got home yet, you anoint them pillows, anoint them doorknobs. When they touch their doorknob, the blood of Jesus cover you. When your head hit the pillow, the blood of Jesus cover you. And so the mothers, when you got a praying mother, it makes all the difference in the world. Am I saying that your little world won't be perfect? Absolutely not. But at the end of the day, it's a different type of covering that God will give you when you have a praying mother. And I thank God for my kids because I'm finding now as I'm getting older and they're getting older, they taking care of me, you know? You know, to do X, Y, Z. So I enjoy being a mother. Is it hard? Absolutely, yes. Anybody that tells you it isn't telling you the truth, not the whole truth. Anyway. You know what I'm saying, but yeah, I love the fact that they love me. You know, sometimes you know your kids don't like you, but they love you. You know, they don't like you, but my kids love me and they like me. So I thank God for that, and I love them. They're a whole mess, but I love them.
Well, you are a blessing, and you're blessed. They are blessed to have such a loving soul like you, and you're an example to all of us mothers to stick in there. You know, I didn't know you had twins. That's news to me, but you have the spirit and wherewithal. God chose you for that. He knew you. You have such a jovial and high spirit that you could handle the job. As I know you in the spiritual realm, we know one another a little bit in the physical, but Queen, we've been connecting in that spiritual realm long before we met. And I thank God for the uniting of our souls, hearts, minds, and spirits. Queen, you are a shining example to us all. And please share with us your contact information because there will be those globally that will want to reach out to you.
Absolutely. My email is buttgrace, buttgrace @yahoo.com. My IG is buttgrace2017. That's buttgrace@2017. And my Facebook is my name, Stacy Penn.
Yes, it is. Oh, wonderful. I know you're all of those places are going to be lighting up momentarily, so just be ready for the influx. I just want to pause before we turn the microphone back to you for closing words of inspiration. Let me reiterate from our commercial break that myself and the New Royal Family of Advocates for the Homeless will be at 425 2nd Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., rain, shine, snow, earthquake, tsunami. We go and serve our sacred homeless kings and queens. Let them not be forgotten, for they are the least of these that Jesus talked about. Let us continue his mighty work. He was found in the highways and the byways serving those that were in need. And we are dedicated. Myself and the New Royal Family will be there at 11 a.m. With food, clothing, toiletries, medical supplies, and all that you, world community, would donate. We will be there to serve. Again, you can reach us at www.thenewroyalfamily.org. And if you would like to make a kind monetary donation, please do that via Cash App to $Jelencia. That's GELENCIA. We look forward to seeing you at 425 2nd and D Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C., at 11 a.m. sharp. Thank you, world. And let's go right back to our powerful, bubbly, inspirational, loving, and kind guest. This is the Queen, Stacy Penn. Would you give closing words of inspiration to our global listeners?
Thank you so much again, Sister Queen, yes, Jennifer, for the invite. You know, every time every time I hear you talking and you're talking about this individual, you know, I'm looking around in my prayer room and I'm like, oh, that's singing. You know, I had that aha moment yet again. You know, that aha and the aha and the end. Okay?
So I bless you, Queen.
I appreciate you inviting me on your show. It's definitely an honor. I thank God for the connection. I thank God for just your spirit. We don't have any mutual friends on Facebook, and so I just saw some posts that you had helping the homeless and things like that.
Bless you.
Wow, she is just like in. She's just out there, you know. She's
bless
just doing
you.
It. And I wanted to
bless
support.
You.
And so I just appreciate you being there for our homeless kings and queens and trying to find them, you know, homes and clothes and toiletries. I see those posts. I'm
Amen.
Like, okay, I got the toilet paper. I got the game.
No. She gave y'all, Queen Stacy gave y'all.
I can remember when I said to you, I said, do you know anybody that wouldn't need a TV? It ain't no your TV. It ain't no, you know. It ain't no little 13.
Yes, it's right.
It's okay. I just thank God for your work. I really do. I thank God for your work. And I want to continue to encourage you to go forward, to move forward. And I want to encourage everyone that's listening to continue to be your authentic you. God acknowledges and he sees everything concerning you. He has not forgotten you.
Amen.
Continue to walk in grace and walk in faith. Be encouraged.
Amen. Oh, beautiful. Thank you, my dear Sister Queen Stacy, for the support that you have lent me and the New Royal Family as we continue to uplift the least of these of Jesus, the sacred of him. And I thank you for your encouragement. I thank you for your support and your donations. You and I have much more work to do in the Vineyard, Queen. Thank you for an exemplary interview, most inspirational to myself and all that are listening. I look forward to connecting again in the physical Until that time, I'm with you in the spiritual realm, Queen, and we will do mighty work here. You keep on doing what you do. You keep that beautiful, loving spirit, because I think it was Diana Ross or somebody that said, what the world needs now is love, sweet love.
It's the only thing that there's just too little of, and you are the embodiment of that, my dear sister Queen. Keep on loving. Do not tire of loving. That is, the world is crying out for a spirit such as yours. I thank you. My dear sister Queen, I'm going to let this global audience go. I want to bid everybody adieu. That just means we'll see you later. I wish you peace, love, blessings, and healing across the vast planet.
You have been listening to Healing for Humanity with radio host Queen Jennifer Jalencia. Be sure to check out all of her shows and shows on Neo2X Radio, profanity-free, 24/7. Hear them at www.blackonblackunity.com. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned.